Samuel 7.
So yeah, 2 Samuel chapter 7, which is on page 310 in these red Bibles. 2 Samuel chapter 7. So from verse 1. After the king was settled in his palace and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a house of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." But that night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth. And I will provide a place for my people Israel and plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people shall not oppress them anymore as they did in the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with a rod wielded by men, with floggings inflicted by human hands. But my love will never be taken away from him. As I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." Nathan reported to David all the words of this entire revelation. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, sovereign Lord? And what is my family that you have brought me this far? And as if that were not enough in your sight, sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. And this decree, sovereign Lord, is for a mere human. What more can David say to you? For you know your servant, sovereign Lord. For the sake of your word and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made it known to your servant. How great you are, sovereign Lord. There is no one like you, and there is no God but you, as we have heard with our own ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth that God went out to redeem as a people for himself and to make a name for himself and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations and their gods from before your people, whom you redeemed from Egypt? You have established your people Israel as your very own forever, and you, Lord, have become their God. And now, Lord God, keep forever the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house. Do as you have promised, so that your name will be great forever. Then people will say, 'The Lord Almighty is God over Israel,' and the house of your servant David will be established in your sight. Lord Almighty, God of Israel, you have revealed this to your servant, saying, 'I will build a house for you.' So your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. Sovereign Lord, you are God. Your covenant is trustworthy, and you have promised these good things to your servant. Now be pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever in your sight. For you, sovereign Lord, have spoken, and with your blessing, the house of your servant will be blessed forever."
Great. Thank you, Julie. Do keep the passage open or try to refer to it and shout out verse numbers when appropriate. So, fairly simple 2.7. The first point is this: God, the giver. God, the giver. At the beginning of the passage, David tries to give to God. He's got his own house of cedar to live in, and he feels that the Ark of the Covenant needs likewise. And the prophet Nathan initially agrees, so I think we can say that David's motives are probably all right. But then the Lord intervenes and lets David know otherwise through Nathan. The first couple of verses of that, verses 5 through to 7, basically it's the Lord rebuking him, saying, sort of, I don't need a house, maybe with a little bit of a hint of someone might build me a house sometime, but it's not you. But there's definitely a rebuke there of David. And then the whole tone shifts to the Lord giving to David. He really turns on his head what David was trying to do. So first of all, he reminds David of what he's already given him. So verses 8 and 9. Basically, God has taken David from being a nobody, a shepherd, a humble shepherd, and also ran amongst a family of more impressive brothers. God has taken him, chosen him, appointed him king of Israel, and put him in that place out of a position of humility. So David's saying, I'm going to build you a house, and God's saying, well, no, remember what I've given you. And now listen what I'm going to continue to give you. So middle of verse 9. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth, and I will provide a place for my people Israel. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And then skipping to verse 16. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. So at the start of the passage, David is trying to give something to the Lord to build a house for the Ark of the Covenant to live in. The Lord puts David in his place in the Lord's story. The Lord puts David in his place in the Lord's story. God the giver is going to keep doing amazing things for David. He's going to make David's name great. If you can imagine being a king and kind of what the existential crises might be, foreign armies wanting to usurp you and take over your land, or people within, coups from within, people trying to overthrow you and your position. But no, God's going to make his name great and establish his kingdom forever. Someone else will actually come along, his own flesh and blood, and build a temple, and that was Solomon. But God has something far greater in mind for David, and far greater in mind than what David offered to the Lord. God is the giver. He's given to David, he's blessed him, he's taken him out of nowhere and made him king of Israel. But more than that, now he's going to be the start of a line of kings. Verse 11, the Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. It's the complete opposite of what David had in mind. God gives to David. Well, how does David respond to this? Look at verse 18. Who am I? Who am I, sovereign Lord, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? He reflects and marvels actually that God could have chosen him and made him king of Israel. But yet more than that, he goes on to say, you have also spoken to me about the future of the house of your servant, and this decree, sovereign Lord, is for a mere human. David has a sense of sheer amazement. Who am I that God should do this for me? God gives to David. David is completely undeserving, and David marvels. Who am I? And we should likewise be amazed at what God has done for us. If we are his children, then like David, we have been chosen. We were chosen before the creation of the world, Paul tells us in Ephesians 1, chosen to be his sons. God the giver has blessed us richly if we belong to him, and it is all of him. He chose us. And so like David, we should respond with that question. Who am I? Who am I? So, God, the giver. And secondly, God, the sovereign. The second half of the chapter is David responding to the Lord in prayer. And in his prayer, seven times he addresses the Lord as sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord. And it's important because he does that because he's showing us that not only does God make promises, in fact, not only does God make great promises, God can keep those promises because he's the sovereign Lord. Think about some of the promises you've made in your life and how weak you are to keep them, how powerless you are to do even the things you want to do and the things you've promised others you will do. Not with God. He's the sovereign Lord. God promises to David that his house and his kingdom will last forever. And David addresses God and says, yes, you're the sovereign Lord. I know you're going to do that. David knows that God will do as he has said. I'm sure David could barely understand what these promises actually meant. His line would lead to that greatest king who we were learning of this morning, to the Son of God, the one who centuries later would enter Jerusalem to cries of Hosanna, blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. And as Jesus entered Jerusalem, he entered not to overthrow the Romans, but to give his own life, to build an eternal kingdom of saved sinners. There were some in Jerusalem who knew something of these promises from this chapter and others from the Old Testament. They'd been waiting, and they saw them being fulfilled in Christ, and they shouted Hosanna as this eternal kingdom was coming to pass before their eyes. God is sovereign and faithful and keeps his promises to David to do wonderful things through his line, to establish an eternal king. As David prays this prayer of response to the Lord, he shows us that he sees a bigger picture. Yes, his name will be made great, but actually so will God's. Look with me at verse 25. And now, Lord God, keep forever the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house. Do as you promised, so that your name will be great forever. Do as you promised, so that your name will be great forever. God's promise that David's name will be made great, but David sees the bigger picture, actually that the Lord's name will also be made great. And that's his concern. Do as you have promised. David's concern is for the Lord and the Lord's reputation. And I wonder, is that how we think and pray? Is that how we respond to our sovereign Lord, whose promises we are wrapped up in? If you're a believer, you at some point accepted an invitation to follow Christ. And that is an invitation to be part of something much bigger than ourselves, much bigger than yourself. We are part of God's people. We are part of his eternal kingdom. Our 70 years and 10 are but a blip in God's grand scheme of things. And so is this a kingdom that you will find your place in? As you think about your life, do you ask the question, how does God fit into my plans? Or do you ask, where does my little life fit into his plans? And I think I'm paraphrasing Andy, who was probably paraphrasing someone else when I say that. Is that the question you ask? How does God fit into my plans? Or how does my little life fit into God's plans? It is so easy for us to get bound up in the cares of this world, and our struggles and pain are real. And God cares. In fact, there are even promises in this passage that help us with that. God promises David, I will also give you rest from all your enemies. That applies to us too. But there is just a temptation that we can spend our time looking inwards instead of outwards and upwards. Whereas actually, if we're part of something bigger, that doesn't make sense. We are to look to God. We're to be captivated by his glory and be committed to what he is doing. And so we need to live as if these promises are true, because they are. We need to live in the light of them. So whatever else is going on for us, don't we need to be thankful for God himself, for what he is like, for what he has done for us? In verse 22, David says, "How great you are, sovereign Lord. There is no one like you. and there is no God but you. And then he goes on to say, and who is like your people Israel, whom you redeemed from Egypt? Who is like the church in this world? What is there like the church? What, there is no group of people that is as amazing and to be marveled at as those who God has redeemed. How awesome is our God, and how good he is to his people. And then finally, David responds with bold prayer. Verse 25, keep forever the promise you have made. Do as you promised. And then verse 27, Lord Almighty, God of Israel, you have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build a house for you. So your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. David responds to God's promises by trusting them and turning them into pleading, bold prayers. God made promises to David, and David responds by praying them back. Keep forever, do as you have promised. The promises give him courage to pray like that. This is an area of weakness for me, I'm sure for many of us. It's easy to start the day and pray for our own needs for the day. That's not a bad thing to do. It's easy to start the day and pray for others. But do we pray for God's name? Do we pray for his kingdom? Perhaps one practical help, whether you use the Lord's Prayer word for word or whether you use it as a guide, it starts like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That might be a helpful thing to help you shape your prayers. We are part of something much bigger than ourselves, and this should shape our prayers. So before we come to spend some time praying, we've thought about God, the giver, and God, the sovereign. And we're going to spend some time singing just two songs that help us think about the kingdom, God's kingdom that we're part of. So thank you, Jonathan. Let's